Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello and welcome back to the Review of Death, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. And today we're going to be talking about the most recent episode of Doctor Who, which aired yesterday, which was Legend of the Sea Devils, the penultimate episode of Jodie Whittaker's era. I am Matthew Toffolo, and as you can see, if you're watching the YouTube version, I am joined by a special guest. It is Marcissus the Sea Devil.
No. My name is George.
George?
Yes, and I bring gifts from South China Sea.
Thank you very much, George. So what have we got here? Yeah, we've got quite a lot of treasure from the Flor de la Mar. That was very kind of you to bring it along.
No problem.
So were you one of the sea devils that didn't get stabbed by Dan?
No, I came back from 1972.
Oh, very good. So
I'm a proper sea devil.
You're a proper sea devil.
There we are. Let's put that there.
Put that there. Unfortunately, we haven't got Billy today.
Unfortunately.
Billy is on holiday in New Zealand for the next couple of weeks, so I'm joined by my brother Jonathan. Apologies to Spotify and audio-only listeners who are going to get very confused that we sound very alike, but I'm sure
they'll soon get used to it.
They'll get used to it, yeah. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the episode, any Doctor Who news that we need to talk about? Well, we've got our centenary special trailer that aired last night, but we'll talk about that towards the end of this review as we review the story. Okay. There is a new Doctor Who podcast, a new weekly podcast, which I think is running for 6 weeks, called Doctor Who Redacted. That's been written by Juno Dawson. And that is about a trans girl who has been kicked out of a family home, and she, I think she connects with people online with conspiracy theories about the Doctor, the TARDIS, and all that kind of stuff. I think I mentioned it to you, and you said, hang on, doesn't it sound like that Russell T Davies story?
Yes, I did say that to you, yeah.
Yeah, it does sound a bit like Linda, but I think it's more of a low-key Linda, more of an online Linda.
Not Marvel Loki.
Not Marvel Loki, no. And there's different actors from Doctor Who's past coming into it. We've got
Tegan Travanka and Sophie Aldred, by any chance?
I don't think they're in Redacted,
funnily enough.
Right. They might be in something else, though.
Possibly.
But we've got Rani, not the Rani.
Rani from Kitamara, dig her up from the grave, right?
Okay. We've got Rani from the Sarah Jane Adventures is going to be in it. We've got Osgood from the Moffat era. I think we've got Larry Nightingale from Blink is going to appear in it as well. So there's a few different faces from Doctor Who's more recent past, I should say. So I haven't listened to that yet, but I will be listening to it, and Billy will be listening to it as well. So that is something that we will talk about once Billy comes back into the fray. But for now...
Because I won't be listening to it.
Because you won't be listening to it,
no.
But I have
no interest in it.
For now, we're going to be talking about the Sea Devils, not the good Sea Devils, Legend of the Sea Devils. We need to stop saying that. Because the Sea Devils, to be fair, was the best bit about yesterday's episode. I don't think Billy and I really sort of spoke about the trailers and things leading up to this because, unfortunately, with Billy going away, we had to record in advance, so we missed the trailers and we missed talking about the trailers and how good the trailers looked and how good the Sea Devils looked.
But I did warn you, Matt, didn't I? I did say, don't be fooled by a good trailer because the content may not be as good as the trailer itself.
You did. It was a bit of a Trojan horse, wasn't it, really?
It was,
those
really.
Trailers. Or a Trojan sea monster.
Correct.
Fish thing. Not a Merca.
No.
Yeah, not a Merca,
alas.
Sadly. We'll talk about that as well. But the trailers did look very good. And the lead up to it, I was very excited.
You were very excited.
Yeah,
about it.
Because the sea devils are one of my favourite monsters.
Well, snap. They're fantastic.
They're so good, which is, you know, why we've bought ahead. So I love the Sea Devils, and obviously Warriors of the Deep was not a great story for the Sea Devils, or the Silurians. So I thought, this, and the Silurians haven't really had a very good run in the new series at all.
No.
So I thought, well, you know, the Sea Devils, Chibnall's got a good...
And because they looked so good.
They looked amazing.
You thought,
exactly,
this may well turn out to be solid story.
Yeah. Oh boy, how wrong we were.
Chibnall's had a good track record with old monsters. He's been good with the Daleks, the Cybermen, the Sontarans were very good. True. The Master's been all right as well. So I had high hopes.
Yeah, I understand.
But yes, like you said, unfortunately, it all fell a bit flat.
Yes. It wasn't quite what we expected.
No, it wasn't. So it was quite... It was an Easter special, and it was the shortest special since the series came back. It was only 47 minutes, and it felt like it. It was just...
Yes, certainly there were bits that felt that the editing was not great.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we'll get into all of this in a moment. But because Billy isn't here, he was able to watch it over in New Zealand with ad breaks, which he said was absolutely shocking and horrifying.
It's like UK Gold all over again.
Yes, it's like UK Gold. Mm. Gosh. But did they...
They had ad breaks.
They did have ad breaks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did they have ad breaks even within scenes? So really? I can't remember this.
So of the end of an episode, but also within a scene, it would go to an ad break.
God, what? So they just went... Okay.
They're going to put a stop there and then... Yeah.
That is so weird. I can't remember that.
Disjointed the story.
Yeah, I can imagine. God, I can't remember that. Mm.
We're going back in the 90s now, when you were tiny.
Teeny tiny. Because did they have like an ad break midway through the episode and then they had an ad break at the end of an episode didn't they?
End of episode proper, but I think in some parts, even within a scene, they would have a break.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can imagine not only was that annoying for you, but it was obviously annoying for Billy.
Because I used to take the adverts out.
So Billy actually informed me of where the adverts were for UK people who are fascinated by this sort of thing, because I know people like to know this stuff. So Billy said that the adverts that cocked up everything were as follows. So you've got the first advert after the Sea Devil did a leap onto the ship, Superman.
I hated
Incredible
that
Hulk.
Bit. That was ridiculous.
I tried to dismiss it, didn't I? When we watched it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, you know. But no, come on. It was shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a minor thing. This could be good, you know. Let's not judge this too harshly too early on. Because that was only like 5 minutes in.
Yes.
But no, it was crap. So Sea Devil doing a running leap. Then the second...
It's a very quick advert.
Yeah, but they do loads of adverts. It's like in America.
Do they? Ah.
Then the second advert is when Madam Ching agrees to have Dan and Ying Qi work as her crew.
Right.
So when they're hung upside down, yes. I would imagine. The third is when the Merker, that's not a Merker, spat the cannonballs out.
Oh, yeah.
And then the fourth was when the sky starts to ripple all purple-like.
I don't remember that bit.
I think that might have been when she saw the stars and the stars swirling around and all that
so
sort of stuff.
So within a 47-minute programme, there are four sets of adverts.
Yeah.
That is insanity.
Bonkers. No wonder, God, that must have cocked up his viewing.
God, yeah, absolutely, yeah. The dialogue, everything, the whole narrative is just completely...
It's like every 10 minutes there's a cut. Oh, my God. Right, so that's that little interesting tidbit. Mm. But Billy watched it. At the early hours of this morning when we were recording it, because I think he's like 13 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
So we're going to cut to Billy now, because he very kindly recorded a little bit to let us know his thoughts, and we're going to use that as the springboard for the rest of this review.
Hello, ladies and gents. It's Billy, all the way over in New Zealand. So, good day. Or, no, that's the other place. So, hi, how are you? You all right? Doctor Who, Legend of the Sea Devils, just had its premiere here in New Zealand on TVNZ2, not TVNZ1. Bit hurt by that. Also massively hurt by the fact that there are adverts on in Doctor Who in New Zealand, so I fundamentally decided to stay in the UK. That was a little bit weird. And for an episode that kind of jumped around and did a couple of different bits and bops in different time periods, that was a little bit iffy. I found myself a little bit discombobulated. But maybe that was down to the script, because I thought the pacing of this story was kind of all over the place. Obviously, you have your kind of quiet bang moments and lots of action, but they didn't really seem to transition between each other that well. I don't know if that's the script or if it's the director, I don't know, but Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's an Easter special. You know, we weren't supposed to get this special this year, so it feels, you know, a bit cheeky to be shooting it down. And of course, the Sea Devils came back, which was fantastic. Although my worst fear did kind of happen. They didn't have animatronic heads and they CGI'd their mouths like some cheap Disney movie about a load of dogs becoming friends and forming a basketball team, which was really disappointing. I think if they could have shelled out the money for an animatronic head for Craig L's chief Sea Devil, of course, Craig L's played Carbonista during the Flux season last year, that would have been great. But they didn't do that, and it was a bit of a shame. Dan is a killer. He killed like 8 Sea Devils in one blow. That was a bit mental. He's kind of developing a higher body count than, I don't know, the Daleks in the last sort of 10 years. That's quite possible. Or at least during the entirety of Stephen Moffat's run. I'm on the other side of the world, and I'm still taking pot shots at him. For 45 minutes, it did kind of feel a bit all over the place, and it felt like maybe there was... Was it supposed to be an hour long? I don't know. I thought elements of it were kind of missing certain beats. Like, for example, the keystone suddenly appearing underneath that dude's shirt. I thought the keystone was the thing that she hacked off of the Sea Devil statue at the beginning and held in her hand and sort of looked at in a wary kind of fashion. But no, it was underneath the dude's shirt. And I don't really feel like we got any lead into that. Maybe we did. Maybe it was cut out because there were adverts. Maybe because the sound on the TV here wasn't great. I missed something. I don't know. Also, when the Aurora Borealis thing sort of appeared in the sky, which was just where the last ad break appeared, and the Doctor goes, it's starting. What's starting? I felt like I missed something there. You know, what were the Sea Devils trying to do? Were they? I honestly felt a bit perplexed. I felt like I missed a couple of bits and bobs. Standout scene for me has got to be that lovely sequence underwater with the 13th Doctor and Yaz. And talking of them, I think Jodie and Mandip really stole the show here. I thought they were fantastic. I thought they played the dynamic between them really, really well. Again, though, it is kicking that relationship down the street once again to lengthen the drama of it all. But I think the Doctor kind of keeping her at arm's length and saying, look, I can't really have relationships because time runs out and her time is almost certainly running out. It was a little bit lame, but, you know, I thought they were both fantastic. I thought Amanda Gill and Jodie were the absolute standouts of this story. And the Centenary Special, we don't have a title for it yet. Maybe there's something to be revealed later down the line that might give something away in the title. I don't know. It's a bit annoying that we have to keep calling it the Centenary Special. But Tegan Jovanka, I'm so excited I can't even speak. Tegan Jovanka is back. Ace McShane is back. Amazing. I have no idea how they fit into the story, and I really hope they're not Kate Stewarted like Kate Stewarted was in the Flux season, kind of left to the sidelines, not doing an awful lot. But Dalek, Cybermen, Master, sign me up, big, crazy, bollocks out special. I'm all up for that. So yeah, it wasn't, you know, a swill bucket. It was certainly a swashbuckler. It was totally fine. And with that very non-committal review, I leave you back in the very capable hands of Matthew Toffolo and Jonathan Johnny Toffolo.
So what do we think of that then? I think there were a few things that Billy mentioned there that we agreed on. Mm. There were a few things that we were a bit like, oh, okay, maybe not quite so much. I think he seemed to enjoy it. He seemed to see the positives in it more than possibly we did.
We have, I think, possibly.
Yeah. And I think that's, I don't know. I think if I had gone into it with less expectations, perhaps, I wouldn't feel so strongly about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sadistic and watched it twice. And although I must say I enjoyed it more the second time round because I knew the shortcomings, it still felt like a missed opportunity because I feel like the script was a bit all over the place, Billy said.
It was.
But the basis of the story, there was something there that could have been really quite good.
Yeah, yeah. The concept behind it is an interesting one.
Yeah.
It was very confusing going from the 19th century to, was it 16th century?
16th century, and, yeah.
Yeah, it was all too quick.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just wasn't explored enough, I don't think.
They went back to the 16th century for all of 2 seconds just to see that scene where they jumped off.
And then back again.
It felt very weird in the way that it was sort of trying to frame that other pirate, whose name I have here, Ji-hun. You know, it was very weird.
That's the guy who was trapped. No,
that's the guy who was trapped.
Okay, right.
The more ornate looking pirate.
Yeah.
You know, it was very odd that they sort of set him up to look like he was in league with the Sea Devils, only to very quickly then turn around and say, oh, no,
actually,
he's not in league with the Sea Devils.
I know.
It was just odd, you know, that him like bowing down to the Sea Devil to be like, oh, my lord, you know, which it sort of suggested there was some history there.
Yeah.
Like they'd been working
together for some time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then it was like, oh, no, the Sea Devil, I'm going to betray you. But then the Sea Devil was betrayed because he got turned to a stone statue, which, like Billy said, never really seemed clear why that happened.
No.
It was just very odd. I thought that... I mean, let's go back to the start of the story.
I mean, the first 5 minutes was not great, let's be honest with you. A lot happened. There was no build-up, really, of anything. This is the problem with it. She meets him straight away.
Yeah, it's the trouble that we have with the new series, generally, anyway.
I know there is 47 minutes, so what?
Yeah.
You've got to try and get it all in, but I mean...
It's that you want that tension to build before you see the reveal of a monster.
I mean, you think of Sea Devils. You think of how in those first scenes, you know, you just see...
You have reaction shots, or a hand.
Yeah. You know, that's all fantastic. It builds up, you know. Didn't get any of that this time. Not saying it has to be like that, but you know.
But I think because it's the return of such a well-known classic monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You almost wanted it to be more. I think that's it, really. As good as the Sea Devils were in this story, I think they weren't served particularly well, considering that we haven't seen them since 1983.
Yeah.
So that, for me... was a shame. So going back to the start, we've got the Sea Devil trapped in the statue. Like you said, you know, that was quite a quick reveal.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe it when he started breaking out of the statue immediately. And
yes.
Like, oh, right. Okay.
That's fair enough.
That's it. Yeah. yeah. Right. I mean, I thought it was really cool that the Sea Devil broke out and started killing all these people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm a sucker for a body count when it comes to a Doctor Who monster.
Yeah.
So that was great. Unfortunately...
He didn't have his laser gun, though.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Yeah, I know he's supposed to be the pirates and all, but it would have been good, because it's a good weapon, that one.
Yeah, it is cool. It's different, isn't it?
It's different, yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah, it would have been nice maybe if some of them
had them.
Yeah, like if he was the pirate leader, I've got a thing.
Yeah.
But some of them have their zappers. That would have been cool.
Because their technology seemed rather more advanced in this than it was in later years. So in the 72 story.
Yeah.
So you think, well, surely they must have had stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But interesting that the Doctor, when they used the swords, because obviously it didn't just cut them down, it like infected them, didn't it?
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, oh.
Poisoned them or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah.
And she said, oh, you know, that's the Sea Devil technology. Don't know how she...
How would she know that?
Yeah, she's never seen anything like this before.
No, I know.
That's a big finished box set.
Waiting to happen. Yeah.
The Swords of the Sea Devils.
Good title.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Legend of the Sea Devils. Do you think that was a good title for this? I don't think it really fits.
Not really, but...
Because there wasn't really...
What was the legend?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they sort of made a very vague reference to, like, all sea demons and all.
Is
an ocean demon in the statue. But there was no... It wasn't like a story. I can't think of a story off the top of my head, but one of those stories where it's like, oh yeah, there's this mythical creature that and you know, and you've got that the villagers like, oh no, if you do that, you'll bring the
curse of whatever.
And then the monster appears, and oh bugger, it's a sea devil. You know, it felt like it needed that.
Yeah.
I think this could have been a good two-parter. If it was classic series, it would have made a fine four-parter.
It would have been fine for that, wouldn't it?
It would have been lovely. It would have been a lovely four-part story back in the old days.
Mm.
It just didn't work for 47 minutes.
No.
And
then you have that bit with the net.
This was the next thing I was going to say.
That was bonkers.
That was the moment where it was sort of like, oh dear, things aren't going well for this story already.
Already. This is 5 minutes in.
And this is 5 minutes in. Well, actually... Another thing that annoyed me before we get to the net bit.
Oh, go on.
The Doctor and Yaz and Dan arrive on the beach.
Yeah.
So we have that nice little bit of patter between them. Dan in his ridiculous, flamboyant, dandy pirates outfit.
From a joke shop.
Yeah. And do you know that waistcoat was made out of a pair of curtains?
Really?
Yeah, apparently they were sat in Ray Holman's studio.
Crikey, it wasn't with Julie Andrews, was it? You know, doing... Raindrops on Roses, Whistles and Kittens, because that's their outfits, wasn't it? We're made out of curtains.
Were they?
Yeah, you know, in the famous scene.
Yeah. God bless
you.
You've got bloody talons of Wang Chiang. Jesus, you scratched me. Yeah, and then the Doctor's earring goes like that. And I thought, oh, is it some sort of like magnetic field thing? Oh, and before we get into that, I keep doing this. She got that bloody sonic screwdriver the second she came out the TARDIS.
These things need to be destroyed.
Yeah.
That's what she did, is get rid of them straight away, because they're just used too much.
It's
bonkers.
Why didn't she do what all the old Doctor Who's did and go out the door, look around and go, oh yeah, or like do a finger thing and go, oh, the time's wrong, or oh, hang on, you know.
Something else.
Something alien. Yeah, rather than use this bloody sonic screwdriver.
All the time.
And later on in the story, when they're having the sword fight, the Sea Devil, the Chief Sea Devil, is about to like slash her, and she gets out the sonic screwdriver
and zaps
it, and it flies out of his hand.
Yeah.
I don't know
how that happens, yeah.
I don't know. It's just...
It is annoying, I agree. I mean, the pterodactyls had the right idea.
They did, you know, thank God for the pterodactyls.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the things Chris Chibnall could have taken from the 80s, because obviously he's pulled a few things from the 80s,
yes.
Especially for the next story, the centenary, he could have pulled destroying that bloody sonic screwdriver. But yes, I digress. What was going on with her earring? I don't know.
No, I don't understand.
I thought, yeah, magnetic field. I thought, well, they're pirates. They're like got a magnetic field thing and they're sucking in metal to build their equipment or... I don't know.
Not the TARDIS, of course, didn't it, apparently?
It was this old... All to do with this... she said it was like a kinetic thing. I don't know. It was all to do with like anti-gravity. I don't know. Nothing was really explained.
Nothing was...
Earring business made no sense because at first I was like, oh, you know, magnet, but then the sonic screwdriver would have gone
as well.
That would have been good. She'd have took the sonic screwdriver out and then that would have gone and then plop into the sea. Oh, I've got no sonic screwdriver.
Never be seen again.
Yeah, thank God. Well, don't worry because we've only got one more story for it to appear in and then hopefully you won't see it for a little while.
Yeah,
bury it. Unfortunately, it is a good toy.
This is the thing.
It's
a seller, isn't it? It's merchandise.
Good money maker.
That's the problem.
So we have our interaction with the Sea Devil. Land parasite.
Ape.
Ape, yeah.
I prefer ape.
I prefer ape as well.
Okay.
But yeah, fine. Land parasite. Maybe they thought, actually, the Silurians called them apes in Chris Chibnall's other story.
Okay.
So perhaps he thought, and it was two people who wrote this story. It was Chris Chibnall and Ella Rhode. Who is a newcomer to Doctor Who. Maybe they thought, well, because to differentiate the species, we'll say land parasite. I don't know. It didn't bother me.
I wasn't too bothered about it. No.
What do we think of the Chief Sea Devil then as a performance? Craig Ells, who played Carvanista. I thought he did a good job.
Oh, same actor,
yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought he did a good job. They looked good. I mean, I'm not so bothered about Billy's comment about the... animatronics.
No.
I think that was the least of its worries, to be honest with you.
It was the least of its worries. I mean,
it would have been a nice thing to have seen, but you know, they still looked good. I mean, the voice wasn't quite the same, obviously, to the 70s, but it's still, they tried to do the whispering, and I thought that worked quite well.
Yes.
Obviously, there's a lot more dialogue for this Sea Devil than in the in 72, so they might think they would put the audience off.
Yeah,
by, you know, having the
modulation
whisper,
too heavy. I agree. I thought the modulation on the voice was fine.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job, you know, having to perform that great big bloody head on. I thought he was really good. Mm. And the CGI on the faces, I thought when it worked really well. There might have been an odd shot where I was like, well, it looks a bit weird. But, you know, considering that they shot this very quickly.
I don't think
they had much time at all. It was a very sort of raw production.
Mm.
It was cool to just see them having any sort of movement. Like when you compare them to in the 70s, where of course they don't move at all.
No.
And that's fine. That doesn't bother me. There were a few shots when I thought, oh, maybe there should be some CGI here, like an eye movement or something. And it just feels too much like a static head.
Mm.
And I know people were concerned that would be an issue for like the soldier sea devils, you know,
yes.
The sort of goon sea devils.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, they had very little CGI on
them. Yeah.
But honestly, no, that didn't really bother me. I thought they were great. But going back to this net sequence, that was so weird. Mm. You have this face off with the Doctor and the Sea Devil, and then she's like, no! And then
when did you set that up?
You know, I said...
Did they cut something that we didn't see? I mean...
Well, this is it. You know, during that bit of dialogue, all it needed was just a few shots of, like, Dan saying...
Giving a nod.
There's a net. And then
noting something.
Just going over to do something. If they'd have done that, that would have been fine. I think this is the problem with this episode. And like, there's one bit in particular that really stood out for me watching it the second time. There felt like there was a lot of stuff that was either cut or it just wasn't shot.
Mm.
And I don't know if that was a time limit thing.
Possibly, yeah.
So they felt they needed to get on with it. But yeah, that felt very weird, very sudden.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
He then cuts himself out and then does his Incredible Hulk leap onto this ship.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact they could disappear.
The teleporting.
What's all that about?
That is weird. You know, the jumping, I thought, well, they've got anti-gravity technology.
Perhaps.
You know, maybe he's got special boots on. Yeah. I don't bloody know. Like a Super Mario character. Maybe he's been eating his mushrooms. Yeah, the teleporting and the doctor sees one teleport and goes, oh, that's no natural mist. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah. You know, you don't need to say that. We can see there's no bloody natural mist. The sea devil's just appearing out of it. This is the trouble with this era, is that it feels like it needs to explain everything. Yes. I said in a previous review with Billy that at times the dialogue feels like it's a comic book and not like a modern comic book, like a comic book from the 60s
where
it explains a lot of what's going on in each panel. It's so weird, but I don't think I would have minded so much if the doctor had turned around and gone, oh, that's new, you know, and made a conscious effort to be like, oh, they never used to do that
before. Not seen this before.
That might have, you know, slightly better. But I mean, are we just nitpicking?
Well, just being, I'm sure the comments in the videos will say, "Craggy, those two."
Probably.
Yeah, you know, but can't help it.
Well,
thing is, when you've got, I know we shouldn't go back to the classic series all the time, but when you've got that excellent story, when you've got the Sea Devils, that is such a good story. Yeah. It's hard to beat that. It's going to be hard, and you are going to compare it. I'm sorry.
And the Silurians have the same problem.
Yeah,
the Silurians have had the same problem because the trouble is, The modus operandi for both the Silurians and the Sea Devils is always the same. We want to reclaim the Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's not an awful lot you can do with them. Like, if we take the Silurian story with Matt Smith, you know, it's stuff to do with drilling projects. Yes. It's a bit like Inferno. It's a love letter to the Pertwee era. Mm. Just not very good. And this one felt like it was trying to do at least something a bit more different by giving the Sea Devils a pirate
feel.
Which I actually thought was quite good.
Oh yeah, I don't dislike the premise of it. It's a good one. Mm. It's just the execution was the problem.
Yeah. So
the Sea Devils all got killed by, what's his name? That was a problem
by
as well.
By Dan. Like, why were these Sea Devils so crap? And I mean, I have trouble with a companion just straight out murdering anyone.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And did they even have swords, those Sea Devils?
I can't remember in the scene. They're just, because they're walking towards
him. Yeah, they come towards
him. Suddenly, just
and
then
he slashes a lot of them. Props to whoever edited it for putting in the actual Sea Devil
death shrieks. Oh, yes. Matt didn't pick that up at first.
No.
You missed it with the first one that died. And I said, oh, they've got the sound. You went, did they?
Yeah,
and
I think you were imagining it. I thought,
so the fact they had the good dying sound. Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was cool. I'm glad they did that. But, him killing those Sea Devils was...
Yeah, it wasn't palatable, was it, really? I didn't like...
Yeah.
Because it's not his nature.
It's not his nature. He's just Dan the Man Plasterer. You know,
now he's a bloody Sea Devil murderer, you know?
He's Master Swordsman. Yeah. And then, you know, how did you learn to fight like that? Oh, you should meet me mum. What, your mum is a bloody fencing champion? Merseyside fencing champion 2022? For fact's sake, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I said to someone, perhaps it would have made more... Like, even if he just said something like, I'm really into LARPing. Role-playing
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
You know? And I would have thought, well, you know, it's a naff joke, but it would make...
It would cover it a bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know... he's meant to be a plasterer. He said, "Oh, you should see me with a trowel."
Yes, that would have been a good line.
And that never came up that he was a plasterer at all in the series. That was just what was said. Mm. Oh, it's Dan. He's a plasterer from Liverpool, and he hasn't plastered bugger all.
No,
hopeless these bloody labourers.
Cost a fortune.
Don't really do anything. So that was odd, and it annoyed me more because, hello, you've got two pirates in this story on their team.
Yeah.
Ji-Hun is stood right next to him. Yeah. He should have killed them. Mm. And then maybe Dan could have been like, oh, Doctor's not going to be happy about you doing that.
Yes.
And, you know, he'd have been like, well, it was us or them.
Yes.
You know,
mm.
It's just weird.
It was odd.
I just don't... That's something strange.
Yeah.
talking about the additional characters, the side characters, what do we make of them? I felt that in this story, you never really got to know who exactly they were.
No, I mean, the big build-up of Madame Cheng, is that her name?
Ching.
I know. Madame Ching.
That was, you were thinking of Mavic Chen's wife.
Mavic Chen's wife, yeah. You know, yes, as you say, wasn't really explored very much, was it, really, who she was?
No, it was just like, oh, Madame Ching, Pirate Queen. Who is that?
Yeah, who?
Like, I know that she is a historical figure because I've read all the literature surrounding the production of Doctor Who. Mm. But if I didn't see that, I'd have thought Madame Ching was a fictitious character.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, they've created some new pirate.
Yeah.
So that was a shame that nothing... I think I said to you that when they've done historical stories with characters in the past, you know, you'll have a character say, oh, well, who's this woman?
Yes,
you know,
the Doctor will explain briefly.
Well, you know, she
did this, that, or the other.
South China Seas, commanded all these fleets and all this stuff. And it's just like, oh, okay, that's the bit of background that I needed.
Yeah.
But we don't really spend an awful lot of time with any of these characters. You've got her character, and you get a little bit of backstory in as much as, oh, my crew have been kidnapped and my sons were among them. Just to give it a little bit of heart to that character.
Sorry, you've got hair. It's annoying me.
Oh, right. I've got lots of hairs, actually. You know, and there were just little things like that to just give you something. And I thought the actress did a good job.
Yeah, she played it well.
You know, and
for what she could do with it.
Yeah. And it's a shame, like, she's meant to be the fierce pirate queen.
Didn't really come across like that, though, did she?
No.
No.
You know, why wasn't she sword fighting sea devils and, like, really
being ruthless?
Kicking ass?
She wasn't, yeah. I know, it was a shame.
Again,
missed opportunity, really.
It's a missed opportunity. Mm. Again, it goes back to this thing with Dan murdering the sea devils.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't she do it?
Yes. No, I agree.
It's just weird. It doesn't seem like a massive leap in logic to go, you've got a pirate, have him kill the...
Correct,
you know.
Yeah.
So that was odd. The MacGuffin of the story, like Billy said, the keystone.
Mm.
So I'm really confused. Now, like I said, I've watched it twice.
Mm.
I thought the keystone was in the statue, and that's what Madame Ching was after.
Yeah.
So then for us to then have this other thing and then be like, oh no, it's this thing around my neck.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was like, okay. And again, we're told it's sea devil technology, but it's not really explained what it is.
No.
You know, it did just feel like magic gem.
Mm.
One of these magic gems in front of us. You know, normally if a magic gem is in Doctor Who, the Doctor will say, oh, it's actually a blah, 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 technology
and give a bit
of scientific explanation. But it really did just feel like this is magic. It can seemingly do anything. It can turn you to stone.
Yeah.
It can power spaceships or whatever.
It lights
up. It bloody fries an egg. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just felt like it could do anything. And obviously the thing that they wanted it for was to do something with the
oceans,
like
to cover it more or something, was it?
Yeah, they wanted to flood the planet.
To
make it more aqua.
Yeah,
isn't
the Earth 70% water anyway?
I mean,
isn't that enough?
Yeah, there's quite a lot there, you know, and especially back in that period of time,
anyway,
a lot less people around anyway. A lot of the ocean not polluted.
Yes, correct.
What are they moaning about?
They all kind of 2022. Then they'd have something to
moan about. I mean, that's why they should have been in that Praxeus story, the one that I always moan about, which was to do with plastic
pollution
and all that stuff.
That was a terrible story, wasn't it?
It was appalling.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
You know, so could have been worse. The Sea Devils could have turned up in that, and that would have been really upsetting.
It would have been,
I just didn't feel like we got to know the characters. And again, it comes down to this thing of so much going on,
so little time, isn't it? This is the problem.
It is a shame.
Sea Devil Base looked good.
Sea Devil Base looked good. This is the thing. As a production, like, the costuming looked fantastic.
It did look good.
The heads looked good. The sets looked lovely.
Mm.
The Sea Devil Base looked really great.
Yeah, it was well lit, wasn't it?
It was good. The Sea Devil Base certainly looked far better than it did in the Sea Devils.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
of course.
A really terrible set.
Yeah,
but
of course. Yeah, I agree.
Here it looked really cool, you know. They even tried to explain the bloody mechanics of how their biosphere worked and all this stuff, and the algae and all that kind of stuff. That was nice. I liked all that.
Mm.
you know, it was nice seeing like Sea Devils pottering around doing their bits, doing bits and pieces on their consoles and stuff. You know, it felt like...
Although I did hate the bit in the story when the Doctor's is like wandering about in there and they're not like... Well, this alien, this ape has just turned up in their base. Why aren't they like... Gardener, especially when they were, she was chatting to the bloke in the box.
He gets a phone call
and walks off. Yeah. Just let her chat about everything. I mean, come on, it was ridiculous.
It is weird. And also, why does he keep that guy alive?
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's so weird. Yeah. He's kept him in suspended animation
all that
for
time.
Centuries.
Yeah.
What for?
For laugh.
For a freaking giggle. Why don't you just kill him? He kills everybody else very ruthlessly.
Yeah.
Why don't you just freaking decapitate him when he was knelt down on the boat?
Mm.
Very odd.
I didn't quite understand that.
No, it's... Yeah, there were just a few leaps in logic that just didn't really gel. I mean, you know, it's very easy to turn around and say, well, just switch your mind off and just let it happen.
Mm. Well, yes, I mean...
And, you know, and that's fine. And I think, you know, if you can do that, brilliant. I mean, sometimes I can.
Mm.
I think because it was a story that I was really looking forward to, and I really wanted something good for the Sea Devils. What did you think of the Sea Devil boat as a concept?
Oh, it was okay. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Yeah. The design of it was good, a seaweedy ghost ship.
Fine. No problems with that.
Yeah. What about the other seafaring creature in the story that wasn't the Murker? At the time, I didn't actually catch what it was.
Neither did
but
I.
But it's called the Hua Shen. Now, I had a quick Google, and the Shen were sea dragons, mythical sea dragons.
Right.
From
China.
Chinese mythology.
Mm.
So I liked the idea that they sort of connected the two. I think I would have preferred the human characters in the story to see the monster and go, oh, it's the Hua Shen or whatever.
Yes.
And then when it pops up, the Doctor goes, it's a Murker.
We
could have had a big laugh from the fans.
Yeah.
You know, the people at home wouldn't have understood the reference, but it would have been a nice little
casual
nod.
Casual view, you mean?
Yeah. So that was a shame.
Was that creature killed? I can't remember.
No.
I didn't think it was.
Well, we don't see what happens to it.
No.
It just goes off.
Okay.
Again, it would have been nice if it had gone away and Yaz had been like, oh, what about the big sea monster? Oh, well, you know.
Going to Loch Ness next.
Yeah, or, you know, just something like that. Or like, oh, well, we're not so far from the Bermuda Triangle. Just anything. Well, actually, there's a lot of stories about sea monsters and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, maybe there's some truth in the legend. It's just little things like that.
Yeah.
There's little things that...
Missed opportunities.
It's missed opportunities, correct. One of my biggest gripes, and I mentioned earlier about the directing... Feeling a bit like shots were missed or was cut when it shouldn't have been cut. But
the action scene with the Doctor was, I thought, was very bitty and very all over the place.
The editing. This is my big gripe. And I don't know, you know, I'm an editor by trade. Obviously, I don't edit television or films. But it just, my brain went, whoa, this is incredibly skittish.
Yes.
Very frenetic editing. It was just like, cut, hard to work out
what was going on.
It was hard to work out what was going on, who was where. And that bit with the Doctor was very strange. But even before you get to that, again, things felt oddly cut because characters just seem to appear in places. So for instance... That bit that you were talking about where she's talking to the guy in the suspended animation pod.
Yeah.
And the Sea Devil comes back after he's had his phone call.
Yeah.
And says, right, okay, I've just had a call from upstairs. And
that was such a weird thing.
Jeff on the switchboard has just come round to tell me that actually, we know where the keystone is. Mm. You don't have it. So now I'm going to kill you. And the Doctor flicks the switch and the ship goes up into the air. It goes up into the air. And then all of a sudden... Yaz, the Doctor, and the pirate.
Oh yes, they just sort of swing
in, and they're like, "Hello, here we are."
How did that happen?
Like, wait, hang on a minute. You were down in the bowels
of
the boat.
Yeah,
and then surrounded with sea devils.
It's crazy.
Yeah, how did you get away?
Yeah,
what? It's so weird. Mm. I mean, again, maybe I'm reading into it too much. Maybe I should.
I said the same thing when we watched it.
Yeah, we were like, how did they get there? And there was a few moments like that. But yes, the sword fight in particular felt very weird. There was one moment where it was like a cut and it was like three frames of a shot, and then it was another thing, and it was like, well, why am I seeing this? I don't need that cut you know, just have a slightly longer shot. It doesn't need to be choppy, choppy, choppy. But there was one bit in particular that I went back and I watched it a few times, and I really broke it down. It was like I was back at university doing film studies. So we've towards the end of that fight, there was a bit where the Sea Devil swipes at the Doctor, and we have that sort of Matrix-style slow motion
when it goes across her face. Yeah, I remember.
So, once that happens, she gets up and she runs towards the back of the boat, up the steps, that little bit, whatever you call that.
Right.
And the Sea Devil, Marcissus, follows her.
Okay.
He then goes to slash her. She uses a sonic screwdriver to disarm him. The sword flies off.
Yeah.
Down onto the deck of the ship.
Mm.
She then uses the side of the ship to slide down which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
There's a cut that she slides down, there's a cut, and then it cuts back again. You're like, just slide down and get off.
Yeah.
Perhaps there was some technical issue which meant they had to put a cut there, but it felt weird.
Yeah.
She then runs to get the sword.
Mm.
The Sea Devil grabs her leg.
Marcissus.
Yeah, so but in the time she slid down, he has run down the steps, apparently.
Or teleported.
Or teleported.
Yeah.
Grabbed her leg, and she go... You don't see her go down, but you can see she's on the floor, incapacitated, trying to get this sword. We then cut back to the boy, the young the young kiddie.
Yeah.
He kicks the sword towards the Doctor. We then cut to the Doctor, who is now stood up, for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Picking up the sword. This is when it gets really fucking weird. I mean, that's weird enough.
I was going to say, is that,
So, she takes the sword. We cut back to the boy who looks at the ground as if there's something
there.
On the ground.
Yeah.
We have the dialogue of Jodie over the top of him looking, saying something, hold him there, right? And we're like, what? Hold who there?
Yes.
And then Ji-hun, the pirate, comes in and thrusts his sword downwards. And we hear the scream of the Sea Devil.
Yes.
And then she's like, oh, you didn't need to kill him.
Yeah.
How did the Sea Devil get down on the floor?
Yeah. We didn't see.
He was behind Jodie Whittaker.
Weird.
What happened there?
Gosh.
Like, no one, like, pushed him or punched him or knocked him.
Odd.
It is so bizarre. It just feels like massive bits of narrative action.
Of just being completely missed. Yeah, or cut.
It's really weird. So I don't know. I don't know if... Again, something wasn't shot, and then they went back and thought, oh shit, we didn't get that shot of the Sea Devil falling over. Or maybe it looked a bit crap. I don't know, but it was really odd. It irked me.
Yeah, it just didn't
work. Because I was just like, well, hang on a minute. You know, obviously, like we said, it was a wrought sort of production, really. It wasn't the story that we were supposed to get. It was a bonus.
You can call it that.
Well, you know, I think it was... Oh, I mean, I'm glad it was made because I'm glad we got the Sea Devils back and looking so good. So there we are.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's a positive thing that I can say. There's a few other things that we should say in terms of positives. And I will agree with Billy in terms of I thought the scene under the sea with the Doctor and Yaz was lovely.
That was a good scene, yeah.
It looked amazing.
Yeah,
like the CGI
good.
Looked really, really good there.
Is that the first time we've seen the TARDIS doors open under the sea? I can't remember. I'm thinking of an old story, classic William Hartnell, Pat Troughton ones. Any of those stories where the doors open and we see it? I can't remember. Possibly not. That might be the first time, I think.
I don't know. I don't know if maybe in a Matt Smith story or a Peter Capaldi story there might have been a shot like that where he's gone underwater done something.
I don't remember.
Obviously, the big thing was Legopolis. Wasn't it when he wanted to
yes.
put the TARDIS under the water,
yes.
turn off the shields and stuff, and flood the TARDIS? Which is a bit bonkers. But I thought it looked very nice. I liked that scene. That sort of, I think this is the thing. So we're gonna have to go into Thasmin territory now. Now I like Billy. I have no issue with Thasmin as a concept. You know the love aspect of. You know, it's not the first time we've seen a companion fall in love with the Doctor. And, you know, why wouldn't a companion fall in love with the Doctor? You know, they're this magnificent man or woman that can do all these amazing things and take you to all these amazing places. And, you know, the best friend you could ever have. So that is likely to happen. And I'm sure they all have at some point. Joe Grant was, quite clearly in love with the
Doctor.
Loved,
she did.
You know, Sarah probably, you know, there's certainly something there. And I'm sure, you know, many others before we get into the new series. Obviously, Rose and all that lot, we know because it's so clear, it's so apparent. It's big, major character beats. Unfortunately, with this Yaz situation is...
Grace.
Cool. With this Yaz situation, none of that really fills there until very recently, you know, where they've made a point of it. And obviously people saw it, that there is a possibility for something to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was a good idea for the writers to then turn around and say, well, okay, well, let's make that happen. So I think that's fine. And I liked that scene where, you know, the Doctor sort of makes that remark about a date and, you know, Yaz is sort of like, oh, did she really make that joke? Am I hearing things? What's going on here? What are the signals? I'm getting mixed signals. What's happening? I thought that was great. What I wasn't so keen on was the Doctor then turning around and saying, basically, yeah, I love you too, and I would like to date. I would like to date you if I could, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I just don't feel like from Jodie's end, that doesn't feel like it's been earned.
No, not at all.
I don't feel like. There have been moments where, you know, oh, okay, something might happen here. But I don't necessarily feel like it was enough for her to come around and say, you know, I hate to say it, but that bit when she said...
That line of... Which we cringed.
We laughed. You know, you're one of the best people I've ever known.
Yeah, no, you're not.
And we just laughed because we're like, well, she hasn't really done much, to be honest. Like, when you compare her
to Sarah,
or Joe or Jamie...
Yeah, you know, absolutely. There's loads of other...
You know, my girlfriend turned around and said, oh, Jamie would have made more sense. Crikey, if Pat Troughton's Doctor had turned around to Jamie and said, I love you, Jamie, I would have thought, yeah, well, you're bloody clinging on to each other all the time.
That's right.
So, yeah, why not?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I appreciate the fact that it was there. I just think perhaps it could have been done in a slightly different way, you know.
I must say, though, I disagree with Billy. I don't think Jodie stole the show in this one.
No.
Personally, I don't think she was as strong in this as she was in Flux episodes.
No, me neither.
Why? Well, I don't know. Was it because of the writing, the script,
the timing?
There's so much going on. But I didn't believe her as much in this one. Personally, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think this is because this story, this script was so... It was a tell you script, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it was
just
every bit of dialogue is a bit of information to propel the plot. You know, that's why I thought she was good in that scene under the water.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good scene.
It was a point to breathe. You know, I didn't necessarily think that the scene when she confessed her love to Yaz worked quite so well. Also, a very odd moment in time. Like, the planet is possibly about to be destroyed.
And we're
all going to
die. Yeah.
But while we're here, I'll just pause for a moment and tell you that I love you, but I can't really do anything about that at the moment.
Ever,
because then towards the end, you know, she makes it very clear that
she
can't do it because she can't fix herself to a particular point. You know, she is...
Because time is running out.
Time is running out, you know, and I think it's a wider thing as well, that the Doctor is just, you know, they're a nomad, you know.
They
are a wanderer. They can't just be like, well, I'm going to go domestic and...
No.
You know, live with you somewhere and choose what curtains we're going to put up in a bloody kitchen.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
You know, that's not the Doctor. And I think really for a character, like a companion, you know, I think they would know that that is not in the Doctor's nature. And they wouldn't want the Doctor to give
up. To change and do that.
You know, otherwise you'd just meet any old bloody person and get in a relationship with them.
Yeah.
What I think perhaps might have been an additional way of... Again, building up to the regeneration and all that stuff, is for her to sort of basically say to Yaz, you know, I might not be like this for much longer.
Yes.
You know, I could change, you know, and I won't be the same person you love now.
Correct,
you know?
Yeah.
Christ, I might not even be the same gender.
No, but not these days, that's right, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I could be young, old, fat, thin, male, female, you know, a zygon, who bloody knows what the rules are these days.
Yeah.
So I thought that could have been something that could have been brought into the fray. Mm. But I just don't feel like some of this stuff has been earned, and I might get flack for saying that, but you know, I appreciate the need to represent people, and I think it's very important. And I think that having that with the Doctor and Yaz is a good idea. Mm. I think it just would have worked better had nearer the beginning.
There needed to be more of a build-up for this.
There needed to
work.
Be more of it. Yeah. Like, you felt the chemistry between Christopher Eccleston and Billy Piper.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You felt the chemistry with David Tennant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. And same with Martha. With Martha, you know, she was giving the Doctor bloody puppy dog eyes all the time. And these sort of sighs of like, oh, you know. You didn't get any of that until... Flux.
Yeah.
you just didn't. No. None of that happened with Yaz.
No.
You know? And I mean, I think it's amazing that people saw something there that others didn't.
Yes.
But I mean, shipping, you know, and all that kind of stuff has been going on for years where people just magically see bloody relationships.
Things that aren't there.
That really aren't there.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you ship stuff and I think, okay, that's fine. But, you know, not... It's not something that I've ever done. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out when we get to the centenary special. Like Billy said, weird that we don't have a title for it yet. I thought it was going to be revealed
but,
you know, Doctor Who will return in too many characters for one special episode.
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Too many cooks spoil the broth, exactly. So let's talk about what is to come from that trailer.
Mm.
Now, there was a rumour that Ace was going to be in this story.
Yeah, you said.
You did tell me,
and I was a bit surprised.
And you kept saying, "Nah, that's not going to happen."
I did think. Yeah, I was wrong.
And obviously, Ace is in the story.
Yes.
Which is quite a shock and quite a surprise.
Mm.
More of a surprise was, of course, Tegan appearing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a shock.
Like, what the hell? Mm. Tegan and Ace... unfortunately, it's not just Tegan and Ace. Is they've brought the whole bloody cast of the last couple of years of Doctor Who back. Because you've got Vinda in it.
Mm.
We've got Kate Stewart in it, who, last time she was in the series, was basically a prop in the background, cardboard cutout.
It wasn't good, was it? Yeah.
That was not good. Ashab the Cyberman is back, even though he was murdered by the Master.
Mm.
So, gone back in time?
Possibly.
And picked him up earlier? Mm. Who knows? The Daleks are in it.
Mm.
Ace with a baseball bat in her old jacket, smashing up a Dalek.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Really cool.
Yeah.
I love to see how that's going to work out. Mm. It also looked like it was the Hand of Omega-infused baseball bat as well,
which
was destroyed. So
interesting.
Did the Doctor pick up the pieces and fix it for her?
Don't know.
Give it to her when she left?
Maybe.
Have this, you know, take care of yourself with this thing. Who else is in this story coming back?
Cybermen to the Master.
The Master, obviously the big one. The Master we knew about because it was teased at the end of Flux.
Mm.
And there was a leak.
There was a fantastic picture
of that prop master carrying the box.
The prop man, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, property master.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Prop man, yeah. Carrying that box that said, "The Master's props."
Yes, yeah.
Excellent. What? Yeah. You just couldn't write this stuff.
No.
I bet they were kicking themselves. It's like, oh, just turn the bloody box towards your stomach, you
just
silly sod.
Yeah,
hide it. So that was quite funny. I like the new look of the Master. He's not in the outfit that he was in before.
Yeah,
it's
a
bit more streamlined, almost like a Nerhu suit, but it is a suit.
Yeah.
There's that one shot where he looks like Rasputin.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
He got Tom back.
I mean... There's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
Yaz has got a gun at one point inside the TARDIS, like a pistol.
Oh, okay.
Who's she pointing that at? Who's she going to shoot? Is she going to shoot the Doctor?
Mm.
You won't love me, so...
Gosh. It's like an episode of Emmerdale Farm.
It's like an episode of Emmerdale Farm. Tegan with a machine gun.
I know, yeah.
That's a bit weird.
With Ace. I mean, Ace you can imagine, because that's...
That's her.
It's not really Tegan's nature, is it?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, unless...
Well, I said maybe it was because she was so distraught after Resurrection of the Daleks, when she saw that terrible destruction. She's her way of getting back at them now. If that's a Dalek coming towards them,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's just very strange. But someone had pointed out, these companions have all met all these baddies. They've all met the Daleks, they've all met the Cybermen.
Yes,
they've all met the Master.
Correct, they have.
They all have beef with all of them.
True.
The Master killed Kara, who Ace was in love with.
Yes.
The Master killed Auntie Vanessa.
Yes.
The Cybermen killed Adric.
Yes.
The Daleks killed everybody in Resurrection of the Daleks, yeah, like you said, with Tegan.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the stuff with Mike as well in Remembrance of the Daleks, yes, somebody else that Ace loved.
Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff that can be mined there, character stuff, about, you know, just how bad things are with the
Doctor. I wonder whether we are thinking far too much about that, because in reality,
it probably ain't gonna happen.
When you look at the dialogue that they had, it was so appalling, that line.
Yeah, that in the line trailer. In the trailer, what was it? I've not seen the Doctor for 40 years. It's been 30 for me.
What was that?
I don't know.
I was just like, it's been 3 decades.
Four decades. Yeah, sorry, not 40 years. Yeah. It's been four
That'd
decades.
That'd be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. It's just this clunky shit dialogue. Yeah. It's that whole thing from Flux again with me and my and our as yet unborn child.
Yeah.
Who talks like this? Nobody.
Nobody, no.
I was like, have they not heard humans speak?
Yeah. It's funny, what? Isn't it?
I don't know. It's very strange. Well, you're the Sylvester McCoy fan. What did you think about seeing Ace? This is what every... I had so many people message me saying, oh, I bet Jonathan was, like, so excited.
Really? I wasn't really.
No, you weren't.
No.
I said that. I was like, well, he doesn't really get excited about things, generally.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm more fearful, because Matt said to me, what if Sylvester McCoy's in it?
Yeah.
And with Peter and Colin.
Yeah, that was another rumour. There was a rumour that those guys were going to turn out.
My worry is what they're going to put him in. His outfit, that's the real worry.
Yeah, because...
I'd be gouging my eyes out if it's not done properly, but...
You weren't asked to...
I was asked to give some of my costume, you know, anyway, yeah. So... Oh, well. I mean, it was good to see her, you know, but I don't think... I wasn't, like, you know, ecstatic or, you know, over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I think I just worry, how is it going to actually end up?
Yeah.
What's the finished product going to be like?
I think this is the thing. Had this have happened in a Russell T Davies era, you would have thought, wow, this is going to be really interesting, because you just see how well they brought back Sarah Jane Smith.
Yeah.
But Sarah Jane Smith had an entire episode to herself for all that to be explored.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had a tweet from a friend of mine, Sam Michael. He said the exact same thing. He said, yeah, Sarah Jane Smith, fine, but you're chucking Tegan and Ace in a story.
I wonder how they know each other as well.
This is the other thing, because in the Russell T Davies era of Doctor Who, he made references to Tegan and Ace in Sarah Jane Adventures. Ace runs her own charity, A Charitable Earth. Oh. Ace.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, which we saw in the trailer for one of the box sets when Sylvester McCoy materializes and she takes her jacket off the coat stand and goes off with the Doctor for a little adventure.
Lovely.
And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, so get his costume back, I'm just going to go to the Doctor Who experience to get my clothes. You know, and then I think they made a reference to Tegan having started up a charity of her own, helping like Aboriginal people in Australia and stuff. So perhaps that's how they know each other, through the charity circuit, and, you know, they got chatting, and, you know, I had a friend called the Doctor. Yeah, he had, do you wear question marks? He did, actually. Mm. Oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
So that would be an interesting thing to say, like, how are they going to react to seeing the Doctor as a woman, let alone as another man?
Yes, because they don't know anything about the fact that the Doctor can change gender.
No, yeah, because Tegan has seen the other Doctors. She saw
Tom. She saw, obviously, she was with Tom and then obviously...
She saw Tom, she saw Peter, she saw Hartnell and Pat and John. Whether or not she retained those memories is always a bit sketchy, but, you know, let's say she does. At least she knows regeneration.
Yeah.
Ace, I guess Ace is aware she probably would have known. She travelled with him for long enough.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what they're going to talk about in terms of, like, expanded media.
Yeah.
Because Sophie Aldred has written a book, an official BBC novel, where Ace meets the 13th Doctor, Ryan, Yaz...
Oh, really?
...and Graham. So is that going to be treated as canon?
Mm.
You know, are they going to be like, oh, we met in that story with the rats?
The Pied Piper.
Yeah, like the Pied Piper. Mm. That would be interesting. I'm more interested in that than anything. Mm. But like you said, I can't get too excited about this.
No.
Because I am just so worried it is too much going on.
Yeah.
You know, I feel sad that Jodie isn't getting her last hurrah, but it's going to be bogged down by all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, Kate Stewart's in it. Well, she's, you know, Kate Stewart, what's the point? She's just going to be in the bloody background doing nothing. Tegan and Ace, you know,
who knows how they're going to be
utilised and how it's all going to work. You've obviously got the return of the Master as well. And now we've got all these other monsters coming back. Vinder, whoever, why he needs to come back, who bloody knows.
And of course, they didn't show Jo Martin because she's coming back into it, isn't she?
Apparently. Well, there's a strong rumour that Jo Martin will be coming back in this story. So then how does she fit into it all?
I wonder how long the episode will be. That'll be interesting.
Well, it's been billed as a feature-length episode, but I think feature-length in BBC terms is about somewhere between like 70 and 90 minutes.
Okay.
And 90 minutes isn't really that long for what, all that going on. But who knows? I mean, I hope it is 90 minutes. I hope that, you know, in an ideal world, you give it that time to get a bit of everything. But it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. You know, I obviously hope and pray that it does turn out good and that they give everyone the time that they need. And especially Jodie, because I feel like she needs a proper send-off. And if Jo Martin comes into it, you know, maybe Jo Martin will just appear as like a watcher type figure.
Possibly, yes.
And just be there to say, like, yeah, you're going to regenerate again. And just be like...
Happy days.
What was your? What was the point in you being all the, in all this stuff?
Oh, doing that
Jo Martin, Doctor. I don't know. All this timeless children stuff. I don't know.
Anyway. Russell retcon it all anyway. So
well, this is it. Chibnall's already said that Russell will ignore all this stuff. And I thought, yeah. So will the rest of fandom, I think, for the years to come. Because it was just a... It was a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
It was a cul-de-sac of a plot line. He said, oh, I wanted to broaden the storytelling. But that's going backwards. You know, that's like the area of Doctor Who that we don't want to know about. We don't want to know about the Doctor's origins. Is with, I don't know.
Yes, I know what you mean.
You don't want to go too deeply into that.
It's been explored so much, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, just the little tidbits that we get here and there. That's nice. enough to just be like, oh, okay. Yeah, you don't need to be going into the, like, oh, by the way, she was a fucking secret agent.
No.
Or, and all this stuff. All this stuff. Just weird. Yeah. The jury is still out on that one. And I guess perhaps that'll be something that'll be wrapped up in...
In this one, perhaps.
But yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah, so that was Legend of the Sea Devils. We've got the centenary to look forward to in October.
Is it October, definitely?
It is October. Oh, and someone pointed out that Kate Stewart... on her jacket is wearing a 1970s unit badge.
Oh.
The old symbol.
Good.
So I guess perhaps units come back. And wouldn't it be good if, like, unit came back and it was, like, Ace and Tegan were sort of, like, instrumental in bringing it back after all the Flux stuff.
Oh, I
like,
see.
Like, financing it and all that sort of stuff.
That'd be cool.
That'd be a nice setting for Russell to be like, well, you know, I've got some basis there if I wanted to bring
expand.
Them back.
Yeah.
He's already talked about spin-offs and things.
Maybe we could have
like Ace head of unit. I think I prefer Ace as head of unit than Kate Stewart. Yeah. At least Ace is like a character.
Poor Kate Stewart.
She was being marched by some Cybermen in the trailer. Like,
what, Kate Stewart?
Someone said, oh, she's going to meet the same fate as her dad. Because remember that bullshit that her dad came back as a Cyberman?
Oh, yes. And then he flew off or something, didn't he? And
yeah. Dear God!
Honestly.
It's bloody madness. Ignore that. So we'll see. But I like seeing people get excited about this stuff. But it's upsetting that I can't feel that excitement, especially after that story. It's like hell's bells, you know.
Yeah, had we enjoyed this more, we probably would have been
very different. But I came out of that and felt like, poof.
Yeah.
You know,
Oh boy, indeed.
You know, and even the end of Flux. The end of Flux was a bloody
mess. We've already said that, haven't we?
Mess.
Yeah, that was a mess. Yeah.
You know, I am another showrunner. I would have thought, oh, okay, but for him, I just can't see. I can't see it being good. But I'm going in with very low expectations, and I am waiting to be pleasantly surprised.
Well, let's hope so.
We'll have to see.
Let's hope so.
So that was Legend of the Sea Devils. Oh, and Ace has got. Music notes. She's got a music note. She's got a semi-quaver.
Is she?
A trumpet and something else on her lapel. And those are the same things that were on her t-shirt in Remembrance of the Daleks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the little...
How did you spot that?
Someone on internet spotted it.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So this is on her lapel...
In her...
On the suit?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
right.
Nice little nod.
Very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that.
There's some very wide-eyed people.
Look how they saw this.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't even see Ace with the baseball bat until someone said she's got a baseball bat. What? Yeah, very impressive. I guess people go through like frame by frame to analyse every minutiae of everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Unfortunately, I have long since passed that point of Doctor Who fandom, sadly. Yeah, but hey, there we go. That was Legend of the Sea Devils. It was okay.
Yeah,
well, you know, it is what it is. The Sea Devils were great.
Mm.
Everything around it wasn't quite so good. But I thought the actors in it did very well. Dan's good. I like Dan.
Mm.
No, mass murdering... Sea life aside.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a good comic relief. And he's obviously set up his own departure by ringing up Diane.
Yes.
And being like, oh,
I quite fancy coming back.
Yeah, I miss you. So he's obviously going to meet up with her in the finale and be like, you know what, Doc, I want to just stay here.
Yeah.
Sorry, my appalling Liverpudlian accent there.
No, it's all right.
So there we go. That's going to be that. And the Doctor regenerating, screaming Yaz's name. Who knows what's it going to be? Who is the new Doctor?
Will she regenerate lying down, do you think? I know.
More
importantly, I mean, I know in the trailer we see a regeneration.
Well, I said to you, I reckon that's a fake out. I can just gonna hold it off and be like, I'm going to go around and say goodbye to everybody.
I hate this idea that they can like hold it off. Here's a good thing.
Peter Davison did it though, didn't he? In Caves of Androzani.
Did he?
Yeah.
How? When?
when he's in the spaceship at the end of episode 3. Before the guys break in,
yeah,
he sees he has the regeneration.
Oh, that.
And then he goes like that, and it fades. So he's about to regenerate, and he holds it off. And Graham Harper has said that is what that is.
Really?
He said that directorially, that was the inference there.
Mm. Couldn't really tell, could you? I don't think back then. So
no, but in hindsight, having heard that is what's going on and watching
sense.
It, it's like, oh yeah, of course, that makes so much more sense.
Hmm.
It's cool. I like it. I like that he's like, no, I've got to save Perry.
Oh, no, I like that. That's a good idea.
I prefer, I'm going to hold off my regeneration to save Perry.
Not to say goodbye to everybody.
Not to say goodbye to everybody.
I know, that's...
Like David Tennant did.
Oh, I hate that. It's terrible.
Or Matt Smith did. He held off the regeneration to go and get dressed.
Good.
He changed his costume. Shame Sylvester McCoy didn't do that.
Oh,
dear. Shame Sylvester McCoy didn't go... I've been shot and, you know, they've cut my hearts up with a bloody mechanical probe.
Yeah.
But I'll just go back to the TARDIS and put my pullover on.
Yeah.
Just for Jonathan Toffolo's benefit.
Yeah. Bless him.
There we go. That's that. Mm. You and I will be returning next week.
Will I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're back again next week. Sorry about that. You're probably thinking, oh, God, not these two miserable movie bastards.
Yeah.
But we are going to be talking about Sylvester McCoy's story for your benefit.
Okay.
We are going to be reviewing Delta and the Bannerman.
Oh, yes.
Because it's season 24. I am not a fan of season 24, generally speaking. But we're going to talk about that story and see what we think about rock and roll in the 50s.
Mm.
And then Billy will be back a fortnight after that. And I don't know what we're going to be talking about. Season 18 is something that's on the cards, and we will also talk about Doctor Who Redacted, wherever we are with that in that storyline. I've not heard any yet, so we shall see. But yeah, I hope this was fun.
Not too depressing for
not
you.
Not too depressing, just two miserable buggers chatting to each other. But I hope you enjoyed it, and you know, let us know in the comments what you thought about the story, what your hopes and dreams are for the centenary. And we shall see you next week. Thanks for listening, thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Bye.